Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, entitled Chanting the Sun, sung by Lord Shiva, chapter 24. Okay, like I said, text 21.
Namaste,
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashri Govinda Prabhupada Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Bhagavato Vaishnava Namaha. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Mukham Kuru Divacharam Pangum Lamriti Giri Yat Kripatamam Vandre Shri Guru Natarinam. Beautiful. That's the word, beautiful. I really like to give the class today because I'm into this in beauty. Actually, Punatapa always used to say, "Guru Padma, you came from the heavenly planets. You are a real enjoyer." And that's a problem, that's a problem. We have to transform that into enjoying what Krishna is enjoying. That has to be done. So this material world, we can find some beauty. Because the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and the spiritual world is the summit of beauty, of course. The source of the spiritual world and the material world is Krishna. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, text 8 of chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Mata Sarvam Pravartate, Iti Matva Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanditaha. I am the source of all the spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me, and the wise know this perfectly, engaged in my devotional service, and worship me with all their heart. That is, therefore, in the material world we find beauty, otherwise. But it is a perverted reflection. There is also ugliness. The material nature has two faces, a very beautiful face, and also a very horrible face. There is a duality like that. And the material world consists of a mixture of the three modes of material nature. Sattva-guna, goodness, Rajaguna, passion, Tamaguna, ignorance or darkness. And unlimited variety is created by these mixtures. Just like an expert artist, he knows that there are three primary colors. Yellow, which symbolizes goodness. Red, which symbolizes passion, and blue, which symbolizes ignorance. And if you mix yellow and red, like goodness and passion, then you get green, some kind of mixture. No, but I say orange, of course. And when you mix blue and yellow, you get orange, and when you mix red and blue, you get purple. Of course, if you take also, I remember when I started painting, younger, I was told that you can make all the colors with the three primary colors. You just keep mixing. And you add to it white and black. So white is the presence of all the light, all the colors, and dark is the absence. But if you mix that with colors, you get incredible. You can make any color you want. And I practiced that in the beginning. Later I started to buy green. But in the beginning I used to make green from blue and yellow, and sometimes if you have just a little black or white, you can make unlimited thousands and millions of varieties of colors, green. And like if you look outside in the forest, you see unlimited shades of green. So similarly, the three modes of nature, they are mixed like that, and unlimited varieties of phenomena are there, and it all depends on consciousness. Phenomena are related to consciousness. Everything comes from consciousness, from the supreme consciousness, and also from the consciousness of the soul. And therefore, all these varieties are there. Whenever there are forms in the mode of goodness, beauty is there, because the consciousness is higher, so also beauty is superior. So the spiritual world is sudha sattva, it is beyond, it is transcendental, it is all above goodness. It is all beauty, therefore. Ugliness cannot exist in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there will be no rotting, no stinking, no poison, no pollution, no bad, ugly noises, or bad qualities, anger, lust, greed, envy, deformed things, you know, cannot exist. Everything is just completely beautiful. So in the material world, that is manifested relatively in the mode of goodness. So the mode of goodness is also enlivening. It is stimulating to develop divine consciousness, to develop knowledge. Ignorance is darkness. So the mode of goodness is very important. So in Satya Yuga, for example, or we could even say on heavenly planets, some higher planets like Brahmaloka, like that, Svarga, the heavenly, there are pious living entities there. There everything is in the mode of goodness, so it's very, very beautiful. Everything is like paradise. But when you go in the mode of ignorance, and you go to lower planets, everything becomes horrible, becomes very ugly, becomes painful also. Because the mode of goodness and the beauty of goodness also creates a pleasure. It creates the pleasure. Of course, in the spiritual world, the pleasure is unlimited, ananda, spiritual bliss. While in the material world, there is some pleasure there, which keeps us here. It's actually not really wanted, material pleasure, sukha, because it is called sense gratification. In Satya Yuga, the mood of goodness is predominant. All the living entities, there is no class in Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, all the human beings, they are called Hamsa. There is no Brahmana, no Kshatriya, no Vaishya, no Shudra. Hamsa. And Hamsa means swan, or like swans. So today in the verse we find swans swimming about in the clear pond, in the crystal clear water of a pond. And there's a habit that swans have. They stick their necks between the stems of the lotuses and they play there, like that. There is also a very nice ability the swan has. The swan, he can drink milk from a mixture of water and milk. So he's able to take the nectar from even a filthy place. So this is the quality of the hamsas, of the... Yeah, sometimes the pure devotee is called the Paramahamsa, very elevated swan-like person, you know. And so he is a very beautiful person, and he seeks only the beautiful places, the holy dham, the temple, where the beautiful form of the beautiful Lord is. And he only wants to hear the beautiful description of the beautiful form, beautiful qualities, beautiful pastimes, beautiful places of the Lord, etc. So, this is the Hamsa, the Paramahamsa. So, I remember when I was, before I was a devotee, I was living in the south of Holland, in a part where there's a lot of forest. And there are some lakes there too, ponds, small lakes, ponds. And there are a lot of lilies there, and there were some blue, transparent dragonflies buzzing around these pink lilies. And there is also some cuckoo sound in the distance in the forest. And ducks were around everywhere, and I was just sitting there, just thinking, wow. And then there was a sunrise, you know, and or the sunset in the evening, I remember. And the colors of the sky were reflected in the water, and, you know, I was thinking, incredible, amazing. This feeling is really nice feeling. I went to school and I heard about Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci walked on a path and he saw a small insect in the grass and he became amazed. And he started to study it and he said, it's a wonder, it's a wonder, it's a miracle, it's great. So this is actually a wonderful thing. Can you imagine the spiritual world? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I never really knew the Sanskrit of this verse by heart, so I'm looking where it is. I'm confused now with all my notes. I made a lot of notes and I didn't use them yet. It has to be on inspiration, you know, artistic inspiration about the lotuses and the swans and the colors and the beauty of the Lord and the reflection of His beauty in the material world. I'm looking here for the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, it's... I don't find it anymore. I did not write it. Anyway, Vibhuti-mat is the word that there are incredible, beautiful creations, mighty, beautiful, amazing, and they emanate from what was part of my splendor. Someone knows the entire verse. Please quote it very loud because I'm little. I want to hear very well. I want to hear it. Who knows it? Okay, it doesn't matter. I already quoted it more or less. So this is a fact that it's amazing. So now let's follow the schedule a little bit that I made here. That is just here I will be now. Oh, that's the rest of the day. It's fitting the topic of the day. Beauty, colors, wonderful. What a nice outfit. I like the crowns too. Very fine, sophisticated. Yes, Krishna always wears a peacock feather in his black hair, which is as black as the crow. Yeah, the opposite of the swan is the crow. Oh yeah, I was telling that I was sitting there, and now I come to the crow and the flies and the flocks and...
Sorry?
Where were you sitting? I was sitting, meditating on the beauty of nature.
And the sun.
Wow. Oh, the sun of Holland, not so far from Maastricht. There are some forests and some ponds, and it's very beautiful. And so then I was sitting there, and all of a sudden some airplane came, jets, and they scratched the painting, all stripes in the sky. And then I started to think, yes, it's very beautiful, but the human beings are destroying this, they are polluting nature, and they build ugly factories, ugra karma, horrible works, and they pollute the air and everything. So I was into that. And then a little while later, I stood up and walked home, but right behind that forest, there was a garbage dump. And in the old days, they didn't separate the garbage anymore. So they put everything in a big pile, and it would pile up year after year after year. Bad stench. Anything would be there. Chemical waste, rotten vegetables. Did you ever smell a rotten cauliflower, rotten potatoes? Oh, God. It's not as nice as the prasadam we have in Rada. It's really bad. And then all kinds of creatures were crawling and sneaking about. There were fat rats you could see there, and there were black crows, lots of crows, you know. And big flies, like this big flies, I never saw flies like that. They really enjoyed it, you know. And then you had these frogs, you know, they were actually toads. You know, they're not frogs, they're frogs, some small green ones there. They're nice, they play in the clear water also. They're with the ducks together and the swans. But these frogs were toads with all kinds of pimples on their body and boils.
And they were very fat like this, you know, kids like this. They really liked the dirt, you know. And I was thinking, wow, yeah, the world has two faces, a very beautiful one and a very ugly one. You can see also the nature, you can see a beautiful tiger, beautiful how he is designed, the stripes and the... And then the next picture is a beautiful deer, how sweet the deer, with stips, no? How do you call it?
Dots.
Stips? Dots. Flecken. What is that in English? Flecken. Okay. Spots, yeah. Yeah, spots. Yeah, very beautiful, isn't it, a deer, when you see a deer. Sita became also very enchanted by a golden deer, you know, in the forest, and they were there. So, and then, poor Ram Chandra had to get that deer for her. Anyway, so, but then you see the next picture, the tiger jumps right on top of the deer, and rips it apart, and eats it alive. Yeah. Sometimes you see a beautiful spider web. It's so amazing, you know, it's art, you know, it's designed very wonderfully, like, you know, an artist made a design. And all the spiders make exactly the same webs everywhere, it's amazing. And then it walks in the web, but it looks really ugly and scary, this spider. And then a beautiful small insect comes, also ugly face. But he flies into the web, and then the spider comes and sucks in the blood out of him alive, like that. So this is horrible. So this is the material world. So therefore, we have to somehow or other realize that the farther we go away from knowledge and enlightenment and from the supreme beauty, Krishna, the more ugly everything becomes. Demonic. One of the qualities of the demonic conditionings is that you take, Krishna says that in the chapter, the divine and demonic nature in Bhagavad Gita, that they take birth in uglier and uglier and uglier forms. You know, it's very ugly. So the human form of life is actually also more beautiful than the animals. It's more sophisticated, and it looks more like Krishna and Radharani, of course, for the female forms. So very beautiful, but it's still an illusion. Beauty is only skin deep. The material body is made of substances, and some living entities like to enjoy these substances, like germs. They are inside the blood and the pus. They live there. That's their environment. And some worms are inside the stool in the intestines. And that's their world, the beautiful world they find, you know, there. Like when Lord Indra was condemned, cursed, to become a pig for some time. And he became very attached to being a pig. And living there with his she pig and all the little piglets. And then Narayamuni came to preach to him. Now it's time's up. You can come back now to the heavenly planets. You are the king of heaven, Indra. A lot of beauty there in heaven. But King Indra said, no, leave me alone, I'm enjoying here. So that is what's happening in the material world. Everyone becomes very much conditioned by the way of passion and ignorance and tries to enjoy something ugly. So, two types of persons are there, the swan-like persons and the crow-like persons. The swan-like persons, they like to have beauty. There was a wonderful, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a statement, a prayer by King Kulashekar, and he prays, "My dear Lord, may I die immediately now that I am healthy, so that the swan of my mind may enter into the stem of the lotus feet, of dire lotus feet." And then Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he says also, "This metaphor is used because the swan often takes pleasure in entering the stem of the lotus flower. Similarly, the mind of the pure devotee is drawn to the lotus feet of the
Kandar Pakuti Kamaniya. So Lord Brahma, he recites his beautiful Brahma Sangeeta prayers, and there all the beauty of Krishna in the spiritual world is revealed. Krishna's beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He enchants everyone. Samya Vahu is a Sanskrit term, and it means the most beautiful form, the most beautiful form. Krishna's form is Tribhanga, it is curved in three places. He's so standing so elegantly there. Shamasunda, his complexion is blackish like a thunder cloud, enlightened with a thunderbolt flash from inside. Everything about Krishna is compared to the lotus. He has lotus feet, he has lotus hands, he has lotus face, lotus eyes, and lotus mouth. Now I find the verse. Yadyati buddhimat sattvam srimat urjitam evava tattat evaram gacchatmam mama tejo sahasambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. Krishna is samatha, no one is superior. Or, what did I write there? Sorry. Asamuddha, no one is equal. No one is superior to Krishna, no one is equal. Krishna is called Bhagavan also. He has six opulences or potencies, and one of them is Kanti, beauty, unlimited beauty. When we achieve a higher taste, Param Drishtva Nivartate, we will leave the lower taste for what it is. Puna Punascha Vita Charvananam. The people are madly engaged in chewing the chew, life after life, says Prahlada Maharaj. But Paramdhishvanivartate, if he has a higher taste, he automatically has no lower taste. There is a famous prayer of Sri Yamunacharya. Since my mind is focused on the service of your lotus feet, and I experience great happiness and bliss, I have to spit in disgust by the thought of sex life. Krishna is, I go on for just a little while, a little more about Krishna. Krishna has different ages, and when he is 10 years old, up till his 15th year, that age is called Kalisura. And technically, it is described by great devotees as Navayovana. Navayovana means fresh new youth. Sometimes we see flowers in the springtime and they're still in the bud. They're not open yet, and then all of a sudden they open a little bit. The flower starts to springtime. So then that is like fresh youth. And Krishna, it is said that the bodily beauty is called Navayovana. And in this period, between 10 and 15, actually to be exactly between his 13th and his 14th year, he is becoming so extremely beautiful. He never ever has he been so beautiful. And at that time, he is attracted by the beautiful playing of his flute, all the gopis, and they start to dance to Rasa. And your atmosphere is described when they dance to Rasa dance. It's so beautiful. The moon turns reddish like kumkuma. Can you imagine that? Full moon at midnight. And Vrindavan is like springtime. One of the names of Krishna's Madhava. When he enters Vrindavan, the entire Vrindavan changes into spring. spontaneously all the plants and creepers start to blossom, and all the birds start singing and become very, very enlivened. And all the fragrance is by a soft spring breeze is carried to the noble spirit is not over the inhabitants of the land. Can you imagine such beauty? And also, when Krishna is there amongst the gopis, sometimes he has a newly invented smile. He invents a new kind of smile. That's beauty, isn't it? Okay. There is one devotee, his name is Mangalananda Prabhupada Disciple. In the 70s, he used to make rock, blues, jazz, folk, all kinds of 70 music, very creative. It was a creation of that time. At that time, music was very creative. Very nice, very professional, and beautiful lyrics. And in one of the songs, he is singing his dancing, loving smile. I just remember that. That's his dancing, loving smile. So, Krishna's smile is a dancing, loving smile. Yes, in the 10th chapter of... Oh no, okay, I'll say something else. The ornaments, they increase not the beauty of Krishna, but Krishna increases the ornaments on his form. And the ornaments are on his form, they become more beautiful because they are on Krishna. Yeah, that's nice. Krishna is wearing a necklace of pearls, and he has shark shape earrings, and a Vaidurya gem or a Stumana jewel on his chest. He wears a beautiful silken turban on his head, a peacock feather in his blackish hair. His face is decorated with tilak and sandalwood and kukuma drawings and all beautiful things. Sometimes his garments are embroidered with gold thread and pearls are in there. And his nails are like pearls also, you know. And the inside of his hand bones are reddish, pinkish. His lips are pinkish. The corners of his eyes are pinkish. The soles of his lotus feet are pinkish. And his navel is very deep. That's so many things. You can go on and on and on and on and on. Beauty. Okay. The other day I was reading in the Bhagavatam, the yogi was meditating. And he perceived the face of the Lord, ultimately, started with the lotus feet, like meditation. And when he perceived the face of the Lord, there was a description in the Bhagavatam, that if you happen to go to a wonderful pond, and you see a blue lotus, and in the yellow woven heart of that lotus, there are some white bumblebees buzzing around, and around the stems, two of the lotus in the water, two restless fish are moving about. That scenery fades away and it's nothing compared to the beautiful lotus feet face of the Lord. Can you still follow? And then Srila Prabhupada comes up with something more incredible. He gives the purport and he says to the purport, actually these black bees, they are compared to the black hair of the Lord, the blackish hair of the Lord. He says, and the blue of the lotus is the blue face of the Lord. And he says, and these restless fishes that move about the sands, they are his restless lotus eyes. So, the Prabhupada even increased the beauty of that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, thank you very much for listening. I have to stop. I'm a little bit over time. No more time for questions, I guess. Unless the authorities allow us to at least one question. Shall we do one question? Okay. Who is the most eager? You. Okay.
And I'm very sorry because it's not going to be a nice question, but they're all beautiful stories, but I'm listening to, but what I'm not getting is the last one.
So the last part of it, I really hear about 60% loss on this side
33 to answer that. Soon you will see them with big hearing aids here.
Maybe I should speak through the phone. The lesson of all these beautiful stories, what can we learn from it?
The lesson is that, maybe I wasn't clear enough. The soul is actually searching for that. He is eager to have beauty. Young people, young intellectual people protest against all the pollution of nature. They don't want to live in a filthy place. They want to live in a clean world. So we want clean cleanliness, purity, beauty, wisdom, enlightenment. Also the spiritual beauty is that when a person is physically beautiful, but inside he's not beautiful, he's not compassionate, free from lust, anger, greed, a very selfish person, then he becomes ugly. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul, and the face is an expression of what's going on inside. So beauty is really what we want. Actually, the soul belongs to the spiritual world, which is only beauty. And in ignorance, we become attracted to ugliness, and we mistake that for beauty. So we have to give up that ignorance. Some people are enjoying things which are like stool, like some people eat things, for example. So that we have to go to higher consciousness and enjoy the beautiful things, like a mango with whipped cream, mango fresh, white mango with whipped cream, some strawberries around it, right? Dutch strawberry. instead of having this kind of, they call them oysters, or they're slimy, or they have eggs. Prabhupada says they are made of semen and blood, these things. They're disgusting. Yeah, okay. Also, did I